Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 17. And this is the word of God. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abija. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Amen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your holy word. Your holy word that feeds us and strengthens us and gives us great hope. And on this Christmas Sunday, we remember the hope that you brought into the world through your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, let us be uplifted by your word, strengthened in our faith, and to have a new resolve to live in greater obedience for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So how do you begin to talk about Jesus? And that is what the authors of the four Gospels had to think about. Perhaps for many of us, we would say, don't you begin with the angels and with Joseph and Mary and with the wise men and the shepherds and Jesus being born in the manger? But surprisingly, those well-known Christmas stories are only found in two Gospels, Matthew and Luke. But Mark and John don't have those stories. And if you actually looked for a common thread in all of the introductions of the four Gospels, you'd actually be surprised at what you'd find. What you'd find is that they all make a point to include John the Baptist. For the Gospel writers to begin to talk about Jesus, they had to first talk about John the Baptist. And the reason is because God had called John to prepare people for Jesus' arrival. John was to set the stage for Jesus' appearance. Therefore, to understand Jesus rightly and why he came to the earth, we have to pay close attention to what John the Baptist preached and what he said about Christ. And so, in preparation for Christmas this year, I'd like us to consider and think about the ministry of John the Baptist. The way Luke starts his gospel, he does start off with John, but actually with his parents, right? Zechariah and Elizabeth. They are members of the priestly family of Aaron. So Zechariah, he's a priest, and he had duties in the temple, and apparently they had some kind of rotation, and it was his turn to go into the temple. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were known as very devout believers. They were known for their righteousness. They were known to be devoted to God. And in today's world, they would probably be regarded as like a godly, well-respected pastor and pastor's wife in the church, something like that. But we see that despite their faithfulness, that they had this deep struggle in their life. They were unable to have children. And they were now in their old age, and it seemed like their chance of having a child passed them by. And so they must have suffered a lot. And even the Bible acknowledges what a deep emotional and spiritual struggle it is when you can't have kids. So Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're bearing a heavy cross. In Zechariah and Elizabeth, we have two people who are faithful to God, but quietly suffering. And we're reminded that our obedience doesn't necessarily shield us from a life of suffering and even disappointment. Sometimes following Christ involves bearing a heavy cross. And there may be some of you, as you're listening here, you're in that same boat. And I hope that Zechariah and Elizabeth provide an encouraging example for you. That despite great disappointment, they never turned their back on God, but they remained devoted to Him. And we find out later that they had never stopped praying. Now, how do you handle heartache? And how do you handle suffering? Especially when you've been devoted to God. You know, over the years, I've seen people respond in different ways. I've seen people angrily walk away from God and say, you know, what's the use? If God is going to do this in my life, why should I follow Him? Or if God is going to walk away from me, then I'm going to walk away from Him. Now, what's underneath that? I would say what's underneath that is what I would call a Santa Claus mindset. I obey God to get things from God. And so God is nothing more than some kind of glorified Santa Claus. And so naturally, if you don't get things from God, you will feel betrayed. And you walk away from God. I've seen others lose their faith quietly and gradually. They still go to church. They still do the Christian things. But their heart begins to harden. And they become cynical. They stop praying. They lose their spiritual motivation. And they begin to disengage from God and also from the church. And what is underneath that? I think underneath that is this kind of sense of God does exist, but He doesn't care. Or more personally, God exists, but He doesn't care about me. And when you're in that place, you begin to say things like, why try? You know, why believe? Why keep praying? But I've also had the privilege of seeing people dig deeper with God and follow the way of Zechariah and Elizabeth. They go deeper with Him. Instead of pulling back, they press in more. They wrestle with God. They remain steadfast. They keep praying. And what's underneath that? What's underneath that is simply faith. That despite suffering and despite disappointment, that God is still the same. He's still good. He's still there. And He still loves me. You know, I love verse 13 for what it reveals. You know, the angel says to Zechariah, God has heard your prayer. If you think about it, Zechariah and Elizabeth were old at this point. You got to believe that for the last 20 or 30 years, they had been praying for a child. And you would imagine that was probably at the top of their list. So every day they prayed that prayer for 20 to 30 years. Can you imagine how many times they prayed that prayer? And I'm sure with each passing year, it would seem like God was totally silent, painfully silent, that He wasn't there and that He didn't care. But what do the angel's words reveal to us? They revealed that God was listening that whole time. That He was there. That He knew. And that He loved them. But He was simply waiting for the right time. And right now, some of you may feel like God is painfully silent. And another year seems to be passing by as we come to the end of this year. But God wants you to know this. That He knows your burdens. And that He listens to your prayers. And in the meantime, to remain steadfast. To keep up your devotion to God and to keep praying to Him. So we find the angel of the Lord tells Zechariah the good news. They will have a child in their old age, and God is basically going to do the impossible with them. And so after all these years of disappointment and waiting, they'd have a child, and God would turn their sadness into joy. The angel, however, doesn't stop there, does he? He speaks a word of blessing over the child. The angel says that many will rejoice at his birth and that he will be great before the Lord. And what a parent's dream, right? To hear that their child is going to be great. We all want our kids to be great. And to hear that from the angel of the Lord, that must have been awesome. But what will this greatness look like? And the angel begins to explain. And we find that it's nothing like the world's understanding of greatness. It's not about a great name, great success, or great wealth. It's not even what many Christians would think. It's not like John would perform great miracles like Moses and Elijah. The angel explains that John will be great because of two things. Number one, his godliness, and number two, the gospel. As for godliness, he will not drink wine or strong drink. Basically, John the Baptist is going to be a Nazarite. Someone set apart and totally dedicated to a life of holiness. We find that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as a result, he will bear the fruit of the Spirit. And John, he would be known everywhere for his holiness and his righteousness. John's life and character would be so great to the point that Jesus would say that he was the greatest man to have ever lived, though he would not perform even one miracle. Let's not forget that in the eyes of God, greatness is less about ability, and it is more about character. Now, John would also be great because of the gospel. He would be great because who he would point people to. And it was not himself. John would say, "I am not the Christ. I am not the Christ." John would be great because he would turn people to the Lord. And in that sense, he would come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And just as Elijah turned people back to the Lord, so also John is going to turn people back to the Lord. And as Elijah's ministry was filled with shadows of the gospel and anticipating Jesus, so also John the Baptist. He was going to preach the gospel and prepare people for Jesus. Now, what did John exactly preach to prepare people for Christ? Well, the scriptures say that he preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. If I could put it another way, he preached a message that disturbed the comfortable and comforted the disturbed. To those who were comfortable in their righteousness, who thought they were good, John exposed their sin and he called them to repent. And if you know anything about John the Baptist, you know he had guts. You know, people came to him wanting to be baptized by him, and you know what he called them? A brood of vipers. You guys are snakes. You guys are sinners. And though it would cost him his life, he even called out the king, King Herod, and called out his sin in that he had married his brother's wife. But at the same time, John also comforted the brokenhearted. You know, he pointed people to Jesus and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John also preached forgiveness of sins and the mercy of God. In sum, he prepared people for Jesus by pointing to their sin, but then pointing them to Jesus, their Savior. And that's why John brought people so much joy, because of that. Why do we need to hear this? Because you know what? Some of us don't have joy, or we don't have much joy. And you know what the way to joy is? When we're humbled by our sins, and then we're lifted up by Jesus. It's when we revisit the gospel. God's word says, when we sow tears, we reap shouts of joy. You know, when we talk about Christmas, we talk about joy. But what is that Christmas joy? That Christmas joy comes through tears of repentance and then realizing the mercies of God that are found in Jesus Christ. You know, if we don't have joy today, even as it's the Christmas season, perhaps we need to revisit the gospel, both our sin and our Savior. Why else do we need to hear about John and his ministry? Because in many circles, both religious and secular, we hear that Jesus was this great moral teacher, or he's just another great religious figure. But if there's anyone who serves as an authority on who Jesus is, it is John the Baptist. Because God had called John out of everyone to prepare people for Jesus. And what did John say? John said, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away sin. Jesus is God's sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is not just a teacher, not just another religious figure, not just another man of God. He is the Lamb of God. And he came to save us from our sins. And in saving us, he came to show us how much God loves us. He loves us more than we could ever imagine. And that's why Christmas is indeed a time of joy. Because through Jesus, God brought light into this dark world. And he brought hope into our hopelessness. And we also need to hear this because we're actually no different than the people in John's day. We're no different in the sense that we need help turning to God. Because turning to God is not a one-time event. No, our hearts often wander away from God. We need to turn to God every day. We need to turn to God every hour. Because, brothers and sisters, we all know this. If left to ourselves, we get lost in ourselves. My stuff, my schedule, right? My needs, my world, right? If left to ourselves, we begin to suffer from a God complex. And that's something I'm beginning to realize even in my own life. We think we are so wise. How do I know that? Because we like to talk more than we like to listen. We like to tell people what to do, but we don't like others to tell us what to do. It's because we think we're always right. How do I know that? Because we judge people a lot. And we have a hard time saying sorry. Why? It's because we always think we're right. And we always want to be praised and admired and respected. In a sense, we want people to worship us when it is God alone who ought to be worshipped. And we think we have control of our life. How do I know that? Because we get so surprised and upset when things don't go according to our plans. And so we think we're God. But it is only God who is wise and perfectly wise. It is only God who is right and right all the time. It is only God who ought to be worshipped. It is only God who has full control over our lives. You see, brothers and sisters, we suffer from a God complex. We think we're God. And when we think we're God, we don't need Jesus. And if that is us, John becomes relevant because he reminds us how we turn back to God. How do we put ourselves in a position to prepare to receive Jesus back into our lives? And it is through repentance. Repentance of our sins. And in repentance, we find the mercies of God. And that is the good news. As I close here, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they'd have such joy in finally having a child, won't they? But that would actually be the tip of the iceberg. God had even greater joy waiting for them because God would fill their barren soul with his own son in whom there is life and love. Their son would point them to God's son in whom they would receive forgiveness of sin and the mercy of God. They prayed for a child and God would not only give them a son, John, But God would give them his only son, Jesus Christ. And you see, God gave them earthly joy, but he gave them more than that. He gave them heavenly joy. And what we realize is that God gives us more than we could ever ask or imagine. That our God is a God of abundance, and we see that. And so this Christmas season, let us remember how rich we are in Christ and how greatly loved we are. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for the ministry of John the Baptist as he pointed away from himself to Christ and he said, that's your salvation. That's where your joy is. And Father, let us hear John's message that we might have more of Jesus in our lives, that we would have hearts of repentance over our sin, over our self-centeredness, over our God complexes, and that we will look at our Savior who is so rich in mercy, that even though there are these moments where we want to be worshipped, there are these shameful sins in our life, they are covered fully by his blood shed on the cross. Lord, we thank you that you loved us enough to send your own Son into the world to become a man, but to become also the Lamb of God that takes away sin. Thank you that now there is light in our darkness, hope in our hopelessness, joy in our sorrows. Thank you, Lord, that you're always there, even when it seems like you may not be there. Lord, thank you that you, in your love, you listen and you hear our prayers. And Lord, through your Holy Spirit, grant us greater faith and a resilience and a steadfast spirit. And oh God, we pray that this Christmas season we would think about the great love that is found in Jesus Christ. And Lord, that our joy might be even greater. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.